This is the passage of Scripture on which the teaching is based. It's Luke 9:23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, Michael Maccabee is a globally recognized expert on leadership. He's advised and he's taught and studied leaders of companies, unions, governments, healthcare organizations, and universities in 36 countries. In his Harvard Business Review article, it's called "Why People Follow the Leader," he wrote this about what it means to follow someone. He said, "Followers' motivation fall into two categories, rational and irrational. The rational ones are conscious and therefore well-known. They have to do with our hopes of gaining money, status, power, or entry into a meaningful enterprise by following a great leader. Our fear is that we'll miss out if we don't. More influential, much of the time, are the irrational motivations that lie outside the realm of our awareness and therefore beyond our ability to control them." Now, what Maccabee is saying is this. He's saying, look, there are two essential reasons to follow someone. Some of those are more thought out. Some of those are not thought out at all. However, if you read him and you read the other business literature on what it means to follow someone, it's essentially focused on what we get from following the other. There's a cost-benefit analysis to following. Hopes of gaining money, status, power, or even deeper hopes that he writes about in his article. Here's the question, though. What are the reasons that we would follow Jesus? That's the word disciple means, follower, right? What are the reasons that we would follow Jesus? Here in Luke chapter 9, Jesus teaches us about the problem of following him. There's actually a difficulty with it. There's a condition to it. What he says is that if anyone would come after me, follow me, if. So there's a condition, right? You see the problem? And we see that he teaches us three things about what it means to follow him. We must have these three things. We must have, one, the desire to follow him. He says, if anyone would come after me. We also have to have the self-control to follow Jesus. He says, let him deny himself. And he also says that we have to have the determination to follow Jesus. He says, take up his cross daily. Take up his cross daily. So let's look at those three things and continue to worship together in that way. First, the problem of following Jesus. If anyone would come after me or follow me, the problem here is that we have a tendency towards best practice. We have a tendency towards what works for us. We have a tendency towards looking through the literature, looking through the books, and picking out what we like and not accepting and just rejecting what we don't like. One example is, and some of this is good to do, one example that I have in our lives are the parenting books. There's so many parenting books. Have you ever tried to read all of them? It's very frustrating because they're all coming from a different perspective. They all have a different approach. And what you find is that you have to sort of pick and choose what works for you, what works for your context. Kids are each different, so you've got to think about that and what works for the kids. And so you've got to pick and choose. Leadership books, business books on leadership and what that means are the same way. You read one book on leadership, one business book on leadership, you think you've got it figured out. Yep, that's it. I'm going to do it. And then you read another one and you're confused. Well, that's telling me just to do the opposite. And then you read three or four and you just don't know what. You have to read like 14 leadership books to really figure out what's going on with leadership. But in all of those examples, what's going on? You are in control. You're picking and choosing what you want. There's no following involved. Following involves a relationship. It's very different. It's not picking and choosing the things that work for you, but it's you working for him, right? So there's a condition. You've got to realize that following Jesus means something more than just picking and choosing. So what's the solution for our tendency towards best practices, our tendency to pick and choose what we like and reject what we don't? The first is the desire to follow Jesus. We have to have a desire to follow Jesus. He says, if anyone would come after me. What does that mean? It means our heart's got to be in it. Our heart's got to be in it. What does it mean to desire someone enough to go where they go, to do what they do. You know, after college, I followed Anne-Marie to Manhattan, and I did music from there. Why? Because I loved her enough to follow and go where she went, and I was where she would be. But loving someone, as you know if you've tried to do it, means that you're not free. You're not just picking and choosing. In fact, you're taking everything you are and sort of channeling it through the desire that you have to be with someone. There was an interview given some years ago in Le Monde with Francois Sagan, the novelist. And at one point, the interviewer asked her this, said, "Then you have the freedom you wanted?" And Sagan says, "I was obviously less free when I was in love with someone, but one's not in love all the time. Apart from that, I'm free." The point there is that she realized that to be in love with someone, to be in relationship with somebody, to have desire for someone, to go where they go, to do what they do, it means that you're not free. Even she recognized it. Okay, so we have to have the desire, but Jesus also says we also have to have the self-control to follow him. He says, let him deny himself. If anyone's going to follow me, if anyone's going to come after me, let him deny himself. You've heard him also say that the greatest two commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. At root, what that means in culture is very, very practical and very basic, but it also means something more than that when Jesus talks about it. In our culture, when we just think about basic etiquette, you know, Emily Post, you remember those etiquette books, the big one? She wrote the Compendium on Etiquette, and it had all sorts of things in it, whether you were going to write a letter to the president or whatever it was, there was a certain etiquette that you were to follow. Her grandson wrote a book called Manners for Men. And in it, he reviews the three basic principles for etiquette. And he said there are three principles that are part of any etiquette that we're involved with. The first one is consideration, considering what's going on for the other person. You've got to think about, stop and think about, okay, what's going on in this person's life? You got to be considerate. That's what consideration means. You also have to be respectful. You have to take actions that help the relationship rather than harm it, right? And then the third one is being truthful, honesty, being truthful. So if those three things comprise etiquette in everyday life for our culture, how much more so in the gospel? How much more so? When you love your neighbor as yourself, when you're denying yourself, what you're doing is you're setting down your own set of rights in favor of your neighbor's set of rights. You're basically saying, okay, I'm going to look at my neighbor and I'm going to see their need and I'm going to see where they're at in life. And I'm going to work for their flourishing and I'm going to work for their well-being with as much energy and as much attention and as much heart as I would my own. You see? Doesn't that catch us a little bit? If basic etiquette catches us, how much more does that catch us? Loving your neighbor as yourself is not as easy as you think on the surface. It's really a radical reorientation of your entire life towards other, towards your neighbor, towards anyone who's near and in need. So we have to desire to follow Jesus. We have to have the self-control. And finally, we have to have the determination to follow Jesus. He says, take up your cross daily. I was reading in a book for a preaching cohort that I'm a part of where we sit together, I don't know, once every 6 weeks or so, and we listen to one another's sermons and we give each other feedback. So they're all pastors. Jared Ayers is a part of this. He leads that. And I sit with other pastors and we hear feedback about the way that we preach, and we give feedback about the way the others preach, and we read books together, and we sort of track along together and try to make progress and grow. And we were reading a book called Made to Stick. And there's an idea in one of those chapters called The Commander's Intent. Commander's Intent. And this is the idea. It said in the military, the author said, in the military, there are vast amounts of planning that go on. Enormous amounts of money spent on planning for the U.S. military. And he said the reality is that most of those plans, although they're thought out, although they're really well ordered, they'll never come to fruition. They'll never come to bear. So several decades ago, the military developed what they called the commander's intent, right? This is the idea that, well, what is the intent of the command, of the planning? so that if we have to hold that bridge, whatever that bridge is, if that's the intent against enemy troops, then whoever is at play can use whatever resources and whatever tactics they need. They're free to make sure the intent is realized, right? So in the same way, when we think about taking up our cross daily, we have to think about our commander's intent, right? Because in a very real way, number one, we're removed from their timeline, and there were followers at that moment. There were followers, his disciples, that would die, that would have to take up a cross, that would be put to death because they followed him. And there are people around today who have to do the same thing around the world today, have to offer up their life. I have to choose. Either I'm going to offer up my life, or I'm going to stay faithful and maintain my profession of faith in who Jesus is and what he's done for me. And so they have to offer up their lives. But in our current context, one of the things we also have to think about is that the cross is singular, right? Paul, the Apostle Paul in the Bible says, at one point he says, I preach Christ and him crucified, right? There's nothing else. I preach Christ and him crucified. So what does that mean? It means that at the center of our faith is one who stood in for us, one who took the cross for us in a way that none of us can, one who took up his cross and took away God's wrath, turned away his wrath, turned away his lack of favor, and turned it into love, turned it into acceptance, brought us into his family rather than keeping us as outcasts. He was outcast so that we could be brought in. So there's a sense in which we can't do what he did. But what's the commander's intent? The commander's intent is that we would live for the well-being of the other, that we would actually consciously, regularly, daily, he says, take it up daily, look at those around us, look at the needs of those around us for their benefit, and lay down our rights, our privileges, for their behalf. We have to look at others as not only needing Jesus, but needing us to show Jesus' love in the same way that he did. Right? What does that mean? When you're at work and somebody gets the best on you, somebody takes credit for what you did and you don't get any credit. When somebody has it out for you, when somebody's unlovely for you, when somebody's impatient for you. Hey, it's Philadelphia. We don't struggle with impatience, do we? When somebody's unkind to you, or curt to you, or mean to you, pick up your cross daily and follow Jesus. He took up his cross so that judgment would be turned away from us. And so therefore, when it comes to overlooking others, working it out with others, getting help to work it out with others, we're to do the same thing. We're to put others' needs before ourselves. We're to pick up our cross, though it hurts, though it's a weight that we wouldn't have to carry if this person X, is not being unkind to us, is not riding us down, running us down into the ground. We do it. We pick up our cross. And we do it for their sake, but we do it for Jesus' sake, because that's what it means to follow him. So he's saying the three things have to be in place. We have to desire him, right? We have to have the self-control to follow him, and we have to have the determination. Take up your cross daily. Where this week do you need that? There's no other place in the universe where you get the strength to be patient with somebody who's unkind to you. There's no other place unless you look at the one, because the reason is that you're going to be patient. You might try roll up your sleeves and try to muscle it out and try to be patient, but you're going to fail eventually. You're going to lose patience. The only way to keep patience is to look at the one who is patient on your behalf. Patient to the point of bloodshed, the Bible says. He gave himself up for us so that we might live. How can we not also give ourselves up for others so that they might live? Do you see? So as we go about our lives this week, friends, we have the great freedom to live as the presence of Jesus, to speak as the presence of Jesus, and to serve as the presence of Jesus right where we're at, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's at home, whether it's in our neighborhood. He gives us that freedom. Aren't you tired of feeling worn down? Aren't you tired of the pressure of life on you? Jesus said in another place that we are to take his yoke upon us and learn from him. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And with him, we'll find rest for our souls. Let's do that. Let's rest in Jesus this week. Are you with me? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your love. We're grateful for the fact that you no longer will turn your face away from us. We come into your presence because we have peace with you now. It was won by our faithful Savior. Lord, we come now to your table. We come to your table mindful of everything that it cost to be able to come to you now boldly and humbly and without fear. So enlarge our hearts. We want to live, speak, and serve as your very presence in our neighborhoods, at our workplace, in our homes. We're thankful for the love that you've shown us. Be with us now, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.